admission to the preaching that we heard this morning. I was thinking about your lives, those of you I know well, and most of you ministers I know pretty well. I hadn't seen Brother John in 30 years, maybe. Good to see him again. But I can point out every one of your lives. I've heard your testimonies. You've been tried with fire.
Amen.
And you've been purged a little bit more every time.
Amen.
The dross is coming out a little. And you work a little harder. You study a little harder. You try a little harder. You try to pastor. You try to be an under-shepherd to God's church and God's flock. I'm assuming at this hour I've got 30 minutes. And that's okay. I may not need that much. But I want to be mindful of the time. You know what? I believe that when God instituted the church, He set up a time and a place. That's part of another one of those purposes, Brother David. It meets at a time and a place. I know there was times in the days of persecutions they met in caves. And every time they'd meet, they'd very secretly tell each other where they're going to meet next Sunday. Are we blessed?
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Do we want to hear the gospel?
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Where does grace stop? Oh, look at me. I've done good. No, it's by grace. Even the simplest things that we choose. I pray every morning. Oh, Lord, help me make good choices today. Help me make good choices. I'm going to tell this story right quick, and then I'll get on with the business at hand. Elder Jeff Winford, those of you know him, he was out watching his grandson play, and he had a big wheel, and he was riding it down the driveway to the street, and he kept getting closer and closer, and Brother Jeff told him, said, "Boy, if you run out in that street, you're going in the house, and you're not going to play with that anymore." Well, he kept watching him. Finally, he went out in the street. Jeff went down there, and Brother Jeff went down there and got the big wheel and got him by the hand, took him in the house and said, "You sit there right there until I come back and get you." Sister Christie said, "Son, what happened?" He said, "Bad choices." Folks, I pray every day. I pray every day to not make bad choices.
Amen.
I want to speak to you this morning. I began to pray about this because I found out you don't go to these meetings without having thought about something to preach on. So I began to pray about this early in the week, and this come to my mind. And I said this morning to my wife, if I've got a message the Lord wants delivered, those men, that I don't know what y'all talk about when you go out there. I'm sure you pray, and I hope God's in the matter. I really do. But I said, if God wants my message, then I'll preach it. But if He don't, I'll listen. And I'll listen with joy, and I'll go home. And I'll rejoice that the gospel was preached.
Amen.
Now, I want to turn to the book of Jude. Book of Jude. When God's people turn away from the truth, false teachers emerge every time.
Right.
Every time. So those who are spiritually strong, we need to get grounded in the scriptures as much as we possibly can while it is today.
Right.
I look back on my life and I'm so thankful for some days of my very early Christian life. Am I talking too loud in this thing? My very early days. God put me, and Brother David expressed the same thing this morning. He put me with some elders, older men that had wisdom. I was full of zeal without knowledge. And I make so many mistakes, and I still do. I still don't have the knowledge I need, but I pray for wisdom. If any man like wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth all men liberally, and upbraideth not. So whatever our problem is, if you need to know the answer, pray for wisdom. You'd be surprised what God will give you. Now, so God's people turn away, false teachers emerge. But those who are spiritually strong need to be grounded to fight in this battle. I've got to put this in, thinking about why Brother Charles was preaching this morning. Old Apostle Paul said, fought a good fight, I've kept the faith, I've finished my course, and I'm ready to just die and get out of here. I'm ready to be offered
right
up. Peter, come and listen to me. I'm going to tell you what kind of death you're going to die. Satan's desire to have you might sift you as wheat, but I prayed for you that your faith fail not. That's what I want to try to get across this morning, that I had a time in my life when God opened the gospel up to me and I was surrounded with men of wisdom. Elder Jerry McMahon, that helped me understand a lot about the Scriptures. I'm so thankful for that. Now then, Jude begins with calling believers to the common salvation. You know what we heard this morning? We heard about common salvation. We heard about what we're supposed to be doing, what God has called us to do, that we to love God and love our neighbor. We heard about the sacrifices and offerings of the Old Testament, and Jesus Christ is our substitute. That's common, isn't it? That's common salvation. How much common salvation is there in the Bible? It's all the way through there from Genesis to Revelation. Now then, Jude is saying, I want you people to earnestly contend for the faith once delivered to the saints. That's what we're looking for. We're not looking for a new gospel or a new doctrine. There's such danger in teachers and influences into this world today that has left. They've gone off into all kinds of things and even given people a license to live whatever life they want to. Now, folks, I may not get to the preaching on this, I don't know, but so much I want to say to you. Somebody said, I don't know which one of them said this morning, what is truth? Do you see how hard truth is to find out today?
Right. Yes.
I have picked out two or three people on the media that I try to listen to, and I'm still not sure if they're telling me the truth. There's one truth.
That's right. Amen.
Somebody tells you life don't begin at conception. There's a truth. We can sort this out. A lot of people can't. They believe in a lie and they're taken away by their imaginations of their heart. They have imagined themselves a God that is not real.
Right.
They imagine some old man sitting up in heaven that's willing to go along with anything I want to do just so I'm happy. Some old long-haired, gray-headed man that's lost control of his family.
Right.
That's the God that's being set forth in the world today.
Right.
If you're praying to somebody, you might be praying to a false god. Moses went up on the mountain. He didn't see God. He saw a cloud. He saw power and authority and the presence of holiness come down on the mountain, and the earth quaked and shook and burned, and All kinds of, they were feared. They feared. They said, Moses, don't tell him to talk to us anymore. You go talk to him and come and tell us.
Right.
Had a guy come to me one time when I was working, said, you talk to the man up there, right? I said, you talking about God? Yeah. I said, yeah, I do. He said, well, if you talk to him for me, I said, why don't you talk to him? I don't think he'd listen. And the more I talked to him, I thought he'd probably right. He was trying to figure out how to get married to the third or fourth wife, and for God to be pleased with. I don't know. I don't know the man, so I'll leave that there. But anyway, now, Jude reminds us of the past in this chapter. He talks about unbelieving Israel. He talks about disobedient angels and wicked Sodom and Gomorrah and the days of Korah. Why is he telling all that to Christian people? The challenge is great. But our God is greater. I've quoted this so much it seems that it may have lost some of its power with me, and I don't want that to happen. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. My friends, anyway, Jude, verse 1. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, the brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Christ Jesus and called. Brother of James, half brother of Jesus, an apostle. Usually called Judas, sometimes Thaddeus. You know why? You know there was two Jude. There was two apostles that were Judes, named Jude. But that one, they always said, Jude Iscariot, the one that betrayed Christ. Lord, help us to not have that tagged on to our name.
Amen. Right.
That's right.
This Jude apostle wrote the book of Jude, I believe. This Judas. Now, be gracious with me on that statement. But anyway, brother of James. James was the son of Alphaeus. I'm not going to get too far into this, but all of this is to distinguish this Jude from Judas Iscariot.
Right.
The scriptures are very clear. Now, to them that are sanctified by God the Father. We're going to get to that common salvation in just a minute, but isn't that pretty common? How are you sanctified? Why did Paul write to the saints at Rome, to the saints at Ephesus, to the saints at Corinth? Why? Because they were sanctified by God the Father.
Yeah.
Preserved. I love our old articles of faith, and I bet this church has got them in. I bet it's in yours too. All of your churches. Ye shall not fall finally away.
Right. Right.
Preserved in Christ. Set apart. That's what sanctified means. I mean, set apart for God's use. That's what we're here for, isn't it? Set apart in election. Preserved in Christ. We're not preserved from temptations and trials and problems. We are delivered through them. But we're not delivered from them. He said, you're going to walk through the water, but it won't overflow you. You're going to walk through the fire, but it won't kindle upon you.
Right.
You're not going to be burned up. Oh, I think about that beautiful text over there in Peter where he says, talking about the end times when the heavens shall melt with a fervent heat. Yeah. Does that scare you?
No.
It's a glorious time.
Yeah.
It will not kindle upon you. Can you imagine the worst atomic? Oh, well, let that go. They'll not fall finally away. They're called. Not by ministers, not by... This calling is about... This is an effectual call. This is an effectual call. From death to life. From bondage to freedom. Mercy be unto you in peace and love be multiplied. I appreciate being reminded this morning about love. Such a central theme. It's something that every one of us, the best time in our lives is when we are loved. The best time in our religious life is when we understood that Jesus Christ loved us. Not that we read it on a sign somewhere that Jesus loves you. I'm not sure about that for everybody that comes down that road.
Right.
But I know one thing. When you experience the love of Jesus Christ in your soul, you won't ever forget it.
Amen. Right. Amen.
One man told me that when God speaks in your heart, everything else is just noise. And I hung on to that one. Verse 3, Beloved, when I give all diligence to write to you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered to the saints. People, and I do too, I really get upset when I watch the news and I look at and hear decisions that are made in a federal level, in a state level, in a community level sometimes, and in families. It upsets me to hear the decisions that people are making so many times. What? How many times have you asked, how could they do that? We got another point in common salvation called total depravity.
Amen. Right.
How does anybody rise above that? Unconditional election.
Right.
Limited atonement. Irresistible grace.
Amen.
Common salvation. Common throughout the scriptures. It'll hinge from one point to the other. From Genesis to Revelation,
yeah,
it'll connect together.
Right.
And preservation of the saints. Now, Jude writes a general epistle and he writes to the beloved. He said, pray diligently. Meditate on the common salvation. He writes to them that are sanctified, preserved, and called. Every born-again child of God has something in common with God's Word.
Yes, sir.
Can you remember picking up a Bible the first time that it ever, that you thought that it was talking about you? Can you remember that? I remember Daddy, he was a good deacon and member of church. He had this great big old family Bible laying on the coffee table, and he'd come in at dinner and rest, and he'd read that Bible. Well, one time I didn't want anybody to know. So I went in when nobody was there, and I began to read, and I thought, that's talking about me. How does that scripture know about me? My friends, that makes a difference.
Yeah.
It talks to you. We're all sinners saved by grace. We can't be uppity and think that we're above somebody else. Christ was humble, but he was powerful. Do you know it's a better testimony to walk away sometimes than it is to take up a fight?
Amen.
Says more. Old Elder Troutner said the Bible ought to be bound in shoe leather. And I agree with that. Walk it. Contend earnestly for the faith once delivered to the saints. Contend earnestly for the common salvation. Now then, I'm going to go in a little bit different way here. He changes the tenor a little. He's going to give us some warnings. Golly, I ain't got much time left.
All right, certain men have crept in unaware. I'm not going to go into this much. I'm just going to mention it. But here's one point. Verse 4, there are certain men crept in unaware who were before of old ordained to this condemnation. Ordained to this condemnation. Ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Certain men, unaware, false teachers, outsiders, passing as prophets, passing as preachers, before ordained of old. Let me get that point right quick. It was written down. It was written down a long time ago that false prophets would come. Wolves in sheep's clothing would come. It was in the scrolls. It was in the oracles of God that the Jews had. So yeah, it's going to happen. And we see it happening very much in our day. That turning the grace of God into lasciviousness, that means excessive sin, excessive lust. You know, I said, how could anybody be that evil? How could they be that wicked? There's a trial going on the news right now. A man killed, may have killed his wife and son. How could anybody do that? Completely out of control. Turned over to a reprobate mind, maybe. Denying the only Lord God. All right. I'm going to ad lib through some of this because I ain't got much time left. And I'm not going to keep you here long. Brother John, I want to give him his time. I put you in remembrance of Israel, he says. Remember what happened? He delivered them out of Egypt by a strong hand. And that no sooner than they got in to the wilderness, they started murmuring and complaining, said, I'd rather just go back and eat the garlic and wild onions and the flesh pots of Egypt and be under slavery and bondage. He that putteth his hand to the plow and looketh back is not worthy of the kingdom of God.
Yeah. Right.
He said, you know what happened to them? It's what Jude's teaching us. He said there were angels that kept not their first estate in verse 6. Left their own habitation. I don't know enough about this to talk about it. I'm just going to read it. You get off in speculation right here real quick.
Yep.
I don't want to speculate about that. 2 Peter 2 and 4 says, for if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness, reserved unto judgment. Christians, you see what happened? That's what Jude's saying. Look at what look at God. Look at this God.
Yeah.
Take a good look. Filthy dreamers. They speak evil of those things which they know not. Speak evil of dignitaries. Speak evil of pastors. Speak evil of men of God. Speak evil of national leaders or even world-known leaders. Protest. As brute beasts. Woe unto them. They're raging like the waves of the sea. To whom is reserved blackness and darkness forever. He's not talking about you sanctified. You purified. You called. He said, I want you to take a good look at God's judgment. The way God operates. Now, he talked about Enoch, seventh from Adam. He prophesied of these things, he said. These are prophecies from a long time ago. These men were ordained to destruction. Verse 17, but beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles and our Lord Jesus Christ. How that they told you there should be mockers in the last time who would walk after their own ungodly lust. These be they who separated themselves sensually, having not the Spirit of God.
Amen.
Jude preached a hard sermon, didn't he?
Yeah, he did.
preached a hard sermon, not having the Spirit. Now he can. I'm just going to read the rest of these verses and give way. He's exhorting them to contend for the common faith. But ye, beloved, build up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Do you have a church and a pastor that's preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ to you in spirit and truth? Paul said in 2 Corinthians, he said, you're not restricted in me, you're restricted in your own minds. That word restricted means narrowed. It means that you're restricting yourself. You won't listen. You're saying, I believe this much, but I'm not going to believe all that. He said, open your hearts and open your mouths. My mouth is wide open to you, Paul would say in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Listen while it is day. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And of some, have compassion, making a difference.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You don't know who God's people are.
That's right.
Don't be saying, well, you're going to hell, so I'm not going to bother with you.
Yeah.
I just want to share this with you real quick. I may have told most of you, I had the privilege of preaching and witnessing and one-on-one a scriptural study of a man that was a drug addict and sold drugs. He loved the Lord. We would weep and cry and pray together. And I said, man, you come into church now. You're claiming to be a Christian and you're still doing that? He said, God's going to kill me, isn't he? I said, yep. You're not going to get away with it. God will not wink at it. He will not close his eye to our sins when we're bold in the face of God and saying, I'm a Christian, count me in, but I've got to sell my drugs tonight. The man got shot in a drug deal and died. Anyway, keep yourself in love. And some, having compassion, making a difference. There's some of these folks that need your help.
Right.
I went to a seminar thing one time when they was trying to tell pastors how to deal with people on drugs. And they said, pastors, don't ever put them out so far that when they bottom out, they won't come to you. Because they're going to bottom out. They're going to bottom out. And until they do, you can't help them. Basically, is what the seminar said. Making it some you can make a difference in. And others, save with fear. Pulling them out of the fire. Hating even the garments spotted with the flesh. Contend for the faith. Have a positive life and attitude and be faithful to the gospel. Build yourself up in the holy faith. And he said, it will make a difference for some people. Some will grow strong. And some will, even with the general gospel teaching, they'll grow stronger. But some will have to be taught by example and one-on-one. And you pastors know exactly what I'm talking about. After coming to a fierce danger that their life is on the line, somebody said they'd had the privilege of looking over into heaven, maybe somebody at the table, but have you ever looked over into hell? You ever felt the heat from it? It's not a pretty sight. Elder Mally Davidson would say the inside of a whale's belly is not a picture you want on your den wall.
Amen.
My friends. Listen, God's people, we can get in fierce danger. He said, you work with you as pulling them out of the fire, as if you teach them, you preach to them, you help them every way you can. You can't help somebody. I got a saying that says, you can't reason with unreasonable people.
Right.
Put that down somewhere. You need to remember that.
Yeah, that's right.
You can't reason with unreasonable people. Your
right.
Maintenance is way too high on that. Now, So you, somebody that's, when they bottom out, who bottomed out? Prodigal son. Apostle Paul. And you could go on and on. They bottomed out. They was at the end of their road. And they said, Lord, help me. Go back to his daddy, the old prodigal then, and said, I'm not worthy to even be your son. He said, come here. Just don't say anymore. Put shoes on his feet and get him a robe. Okay. Now unto him, listen to this. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, present you. Faultless. Before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. The only wise God and Savior be glory and majesty, dominion and power both now and forever. Amen. Makes it worthwhile. I've got to give up. God bless you. I hope I said something that'll stay with you. May God richly bless you is my prayer.
Amen. Take the name of Jesus with